Good morning. We welcome our visitors once again to this service. And at the end of the service, if there is anything we can do to assist you in any way, please feel free to let us know. Again, I want to give my appreciation to the eldership and you brethren for giving me the opportunity to stand before you once again and to share together from the Word of God. We are going back to our roots this morning by reflecting somehow on the father of faith, Abraham. And this takes us back to Genesis chapter 15 from verses 1 through 6. A verse, particularly that verse 6, that has become a theme in the book of Romans, and we see this again in the book of James. In chapter 15 of Genesis, we see the promise of a son made to Abraham. Beginning with verse 1, when we get to verse 6, the book of God says, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckons it to him as righteousness." As we have said, this verse becomes the theme that runs through the entire gamut of the epistle to the Romans. In chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul takes us back to what we have just read in chapter 15 of Genesis and verse 6, when he says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." He goes on in verse 9. "Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say," again, Genesis 15 verse 6, "faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness." Verse 11, verse 12, you see the same thing. And James has something to say, and even added that on account of the faith of Abraham, he became the friend of God. That's verse 23 of James chapter 2. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." This morning, we want to highlight what connection do we have as Christians with Abraham, and then reflect on what the Hebrew writer says about him. Three things. We want to talk about his obedience. We want to talk about the way he lived in the land of promise and the sacrifice that he made. Just last Sunday, before I got acquainted with Brother Mark, I looked at Riker and I remarked, like father, like son. We all know that naturally, children take after their father. If Abraham is presented to us in this way, and the book of God tells us that we have connection with him, in what way? Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26. "For all of you are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
Then in Christ, verse 28,
there is neither Jew nor Greek, no slave or bond, no male or female.
And if this is so,
it goes on to say,
if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's children.
You see the connection?
Unlike the Jews of old, who browbeat,
claiming arrogantly that they have Abraham as their father. And of course, this is one of the areas in which they had a running battle with our Lord.
Back in John chapter 8, verse 31, Christ says,
ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's verse 32. And the Jews who were listening to him were wondering, what's this man saying? Free?
We were never in any bondage. Abraham is our father.
Well, it goes on. I know Abraham was your father, but you are not doing the deeds of Abraham.
Naturally,
children take excuse me. Children take after their father.
If Abraham were your father,
you would not be seeking to kill me as you are trying to do.
Well, Abraham is not really your father. You have another father, and that's the devil.
Ye are of your father, the devil. That's verse 44.
And the will of your father you will do.
He was a murderer from the beginning and abides not in the truth. When he speaks, all he speaks is lie. For he is the father of lies. And the Jews were astonished. What does he say? And as you know, in John chapter 8, this led to an attempt. This led to an attempt by them to stone him. Well, that's the physical, fleshly Jews who think Abraham was their father, but they were not doing the deeds of Abraham. They were acting contrary to the deeds of Abraham. Now, you see the challenge, brethren. If we have connection spiritually with Abraham, then is it not the time for us to look back and see, are we making the same mistake the Jews of old, the fleshly descendants of Abraham, did, who thought on account of fleshly affinity they were one with Abraham? Here we are, spiritual descendants of Abraham. Are we acting in conformity with the deeds of our spiritual father? That's the challenge before us this morning. And we are falling back on the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What did Abraham do which made God to reckon his faith as righteousness for him? Verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. You find that story in Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5. Abraham, immediately God called him, he obeyed, not asking any question as to where he was going. Obedience. Brethren, we know that there are some commands in the Bible that look pleasant to us. There are some, from human standpoint, that are unreasonable. We want to ask now, what type of
command from God did Abraham obey? I know we read this all the time, but I'm wondering whether we have reflected adequately on the type of obedience that we see in Abraham. Here was a man living among his people, and God just came around and said, Abraham, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your family, and go to a place that I will show you. No road map. Where are you taking me to? Just the place I will show you. Again, if, as James tells us, men that we are reading about in the Bible are men of the same nature with us, put yourself in the position of Abraham. There are workers here who are moved, transferred from one place to the other. When you receive a letter or memo of transfer, you open. Mr. John, we want you to report for duty at a place. Just go to the airport, George Bush Airport. A plane is waiting there for you. Just enter. It is only that plane or the pilot that knows where you are going. How do you feel, brethren? A plane to take you to a place. What's the name of the place? No idea. What's the condition of living in the place? No idea. Do we have schools? Good schools for my children there? No. Just enter that plane. The pilot knows where to take you. How do you feel? What's your idea about that kind of command? Won't you say, this is absurd? This is not possible. But that's the command that Abraham obeyed. He was to go to a place that has no road map. Abraham never knew the direction. God just said, I will show you. What if this plane that is awaiting you at George Bush Airport takes you to a country like Nigeria? What if it takes you to just a bush somewhere where life is primitive? Abraham had no qualms. He simply obeyed. Brethren, this is the kind of obedience that we see in our father, Abraham. This reminds me, in my parenting years, I have a son, one of my three sons. He gave me much trouble as a parent in obedience. About the only instruction I could give to my boy, he's now a man with his own children. About the only instruction I could give to my son is, son, let's go and eat. Apart from that, all other instructions, my son has his own idea. But look at our father, Abraham. Go to a place that I will show you. No idea as to what the conditions are in that place. No idea as to what kind of life he was going to live there. Abraham simply obeyed when he had no road map to where he was going. But one thing he knew, God was the one who gave the order. Several times I've come across brethren who write, God says it in his word, I believe it, that settles the question. And that used to sound good to me. But as I go on in life, reading passages like this concerning the faith of Abraham, I come to see the need to modify that. And that is, God says it. That settles it. What if I don't believe? What if you don't believe it? Romans chapter 3 is verse 3. If some do not believe, shall their unbelief change God's word? Never. Brethren, that's the kind of obedience that you have, that we see in Abraham. I know when we are preaching about the responsibilities of the home, we are reading from God's word, and it says, these are the responsibilities of the wife to her husband. I know that's pleasant. To some of my brethren, they will say, move on, move on, move on. Because you are reading from God's word what the responsibilities of the wife is. But when you turn it the other way around, does it sound pleasant? Does it sound reasonable? That's the kind of thing that Abraham obeyed. Obey God when it sounds absurd. Obey God when the command seems unreasonable. It is not reasonable from any standpoint to embark on a journey that you do not know the destination. But that's our father Abraham. Is that the type of faith that we have? Faith that obeys under all conditions, as long as it is God's word, as long as we read it from the book of God. Is that God speaking? No question. And this is the kind of thing you see demonstrated by Apostle Peter in Luke chapter 5, after Christ told him to cast his net into the sea. Peter said, Lord, Master, we have toiled here throughout the night, no catch, no fish. Nevertheless, that's King James. Nevertheless, because you say it, from a man's standpoint, that's unreasonable. You walk as a fisherman throughout the night, and night is the most auspicious time to catch fish. Now, no catch. Then, daytime, somebody now says, cast your net down. But Peter said, nevertheless, because you have said it, I will do it. And what was the result? Bountiful catch. Luke chapter 5, 1 to 5. Bountiful catch. Brethren, some commands of God may seem to us, from human standpoint, to be unreasonable. But just obey. Obedience is the thing. And this is one point about the life of Abraham. As we read further in Hebrews chapter 11, we come to verse 9. It marks another thing that we see about the faith of Abraham. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Genesis chapter 18, that's where this verse is pointing to. In the land that God has promised Abraham, Abraham got there, he was not building mansions. Abraham got there, he was not looking for an expanse of land to cultivate. Abraham was living in tents in the land that God has promised him. You want to know why? Abraham knew this place cannot encapsulate everything that God has said. There must be a better country. There must be a better place than this. And as a result, he was living as a stranger, as a pilgrim in the land God promised him. Brethren, God has given us America. God has given me Nigeria. God has given everybody a place of birth. But how are you looking at the country called America? Is this all there is to the promise of God? No. In the promised land, Abraham was living as a stranger because he was looking for another city whose maker, which foundation is God. Here we are, brethren. Is this all there is to life? This our environment? This our country? Well, that is the thinking of many people in the world. That is why they are living for the world. That is why they are working for worldly gain. That is why God is not in their thinking. But if we are to follow the faith of Abraham, we are to regard this world as not being our own. We are to look down on this world and look up for the place that God is taking us unto. And what does this mean? It means all our labors, all our aspirations, all our goals should be towards our heavenly home. As the Hebrew writer says in the 13th chapter and verse 20, Hebrews chapter 13 and that's verse 14. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. That city is not Houston, Texas, not America, not Nigeria, not London. That's heavenly city. Is that the way we are living our life? Abraham in the land of promise lived as a stranger. We are strangers here. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Peter was admonishing, as stranger and pilgrims, abstain from worldly lusts which war against the soul. How do we see the faith of Abraham highlighted? That takes us to Hebrews chapter 11, over in verse. Hebrews 11, that takes us to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. This is the third area in which the faith of Abraham manifested itself. And that takes us to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. In a way and in a minute, Isaac, by way of analogy, you see, looks forward to Jesus Christ. Just look at this for a moment. Genesis chapter 22. The command to Abraham to offer up his son. How did it come to him? Here it says, and now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Verse 2. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the land of Moriah. Take your son, your only son, who is Christ. How is Christ described? John 3 verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is, just as Isaac was Abraham's only son. You remember at this point in time, Ishmael had been driven out of the house. It remained only Isaac. And that's why God said, your only son. And Christ is God's only son. Isaac with Abraham traveled 3 days. John chapter 2 verse 19 tells us that Christ was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Then the third day he arose. Abraham put the wood on which Isaac was to be laid as sacrifice on Isaac. That's what we find in Genesis chapter 22. As we turn to John chapter 19, Christ was the one who bore his own cross. Just exactly as Isaac had to bear the wood on which he was to be laid. Then where was Isaac to be offered? On Mount Moriah. What does that correspond to in the time of Christ? 2 Chronicles chapter 3. That Mount Moriah was Jerusalem in the time of Christ. So in all this, you see how Isaac prefigures our Lord Jesus Christ. And another way, Christ died, was buried, and was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Then the third day, he arose. What does the Hebrew writer tell us about this? Chapter 11, look over in verse 19. He considered that God is able to raise people, even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. This shows that Isaac, as far as Abraham was concerned, was dead. Immediately God told him to offer him as a sacrifice. As far as Abraham was concerned, that's a dead son. But he received him back the third day, after traveling for 3 days. This is the faith of Abraham, brethren. Looked at from human standpoint, what was God telling Abraham to do? Go and destroy your future by your hands. Perhaps it could have been easier for Abraham if God said, take your son to a ritualist somewhere and let him offer him. Abraham would not be there. But Abraham was the one who was to travel with Isaac. Abraham was the one who was to lay the altar. Abraham was the one who was to bind his son. Abraham was the one who was to take knife and slaughter his son. That was what Abraham did. But at what point did God say, stop it! Don't kill him! Not at the time they were traveling. Not at the time Abraham was setting up the sticks, the wood. Not at the time he was binding Isaac. But at the time he raised up the knife to slaughter his son. Isn't this amazing? That is what Abraham did. If nature does not play dice, if Abraham was a man like me, and he was a man like you, You know how many children you have. I have 5. And these 5 children occupy, each of them occupy a special place in my heart. The one that has now become my eldest child, I always remember the circumstances of her birth. She was born at a time I was at the lowest ebb of my life. I was the one who decided to preach, and this preaching I was doing was the time this lady was born, when the church that was supporting me said, no more support, we are stopping all foreign support. My daughter was born inside the house because I didn't have money to pay for antenatal care. Is that the one? If the command to kill one of my children was to come to me, is that the child I would choose to kill? Because up to now, I never forgot the circumstances of her birth. Or will I lay hand on my second child, who is my first male child? Or my third child, who came as a very beautiful girl? That would be very difficult for me to kill. Or my second son, the fourth child, who was with me during my traumatic days, when everybody has gone to school and the mother to market. My fourth son was the one with me in the house when my leg was battered and I was in pain. My son would be saying, sorry daddy, it will soon be over. Is that the one I will kill? Or the one who is now my baby, the last born that I love so much? So brethren, I have 5 children. I've demonstrated to you the position each of these occupy in my family. I do not know which one of them to kill. If the command that God gave to Abraham was to one human being called Sunday, what about you? You have 2? You have 3? Just look at one of them and say, if God's command that come to you, which one of your 3 children, which one of your 2 children will you offer up? But Abraham had only 1. And no hope of another child. That is the faith of Abraham. Abraham made that great sacrifice. Is it too much for God to say, you give up your life to him as a sacrifice? Romans chapter 12. Offer yourself as a spiritual sacrifice to God. This is what Abraham did. Where are you during the time of worship? What do you do with your money? If Abraham could give his only begotten son, what are you giving to your Lord? How much of your time can you say you are devoting to the service of God? We can go on and on. Brethren, are we finding ourselves in the position of the fleshly descendants of Abraham, who browbeat, oh, we have Abraham as our father? Here are we, spiritual descendants of Abraham. Are we different? This is the time to check ourselves, to rekindle our faith in the Lord Jesus, and to sharpen our focus and rededicate our lives to the service of God. If you are here this morning and you have not obeyed your Lord, this is the time. You have another opportunity of coming to him now. Believe him, repent of your sins, be ready to confess him as the Lord and surrender yourself for baptism. He has promised you salvation and he will never disappoint you. And my brethren, if you are here this morning and you have seen yourself in any way in this lesson, that something needs to be corrected in your life, we stand ready to assist you as we sing the invitation song.